This is the Beltline to Broadway podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Carrie Painter. It was just a few weeks ago that I had the chance to walk into the Duke Energy Center for the first time in 14 months. I wasn't there for a show, but I was there to chat with the complex's director, Carrie Painter, and take a tour. Just this month, the building opened its doors to patrons with in-person symphony and pinecone music performances, starting up again for the first time in just over a year. And while patrons returning to the venue will experience the same caliber of great shows they've come to expect from the building's resident companies and guest artists, there have been some noticeable changes to all of the facilities, and that's just a sign of the times. Here's Painter.
Well, it's interesting because it is a complex in a complex. So the Duke Energy Center has four theaters, which we're super proud of, and every one of them feels different and has a different capacity. The Mamandi, you know, is where the symphony plays, and it's wood and elegant and side boxes and back seats. And then there's the Fletcher Opera Theater, and it's smaller and intimate and a great place for a comedian or a kid's show or something more fun. And then, of course, there is the Memorial Theater right in the middle, and that is the larger theater that, as you say, people walk in and think, that's the only place I'm going, and they forget all these other choices. And we even have a very cool Kennedy Theater in the back, which is a black box theater. It can be anything. It can be, you know, a rehearsal space. It can be a theater in the middle, a theater on the side. You can do whatever you want with it. And that's cool too. And it's got its own entrance in the back. But this complex is within a bigger complex. And that's the piece not everyone realizes. We are also attached to the Raleigh Convention Center, which is, of course, a huge convention center that can be anything from, you know, a Galaxy Con to a very proper convention. And we're part of Red Hat. And so we have the really fun, amazing concerts that go on there, you know, up to 6,000 people outside with this really great urban feel and look at the skyline. And then what people really probably don't know is the other little secret that Walnut Creek Amphitheater, which is Coastal Federal Credit Union Amphitheater, is us too. And so while we don't run that every day, we kind of in partnership with Live Nation, we own it, and it's 18,000 seats, and it's a really great concert stop for everyone in the summer.
So many great performances.
Absolutely. And what's very cool, you know, I just saw one of my friends who is a theater junkie as well in San Francisco, and she posts pictures every day. And she went and saw a performance this weekend in their amp of ballet dance numbers. And she said, these are small collective performances, you know, with all the COVIDs. And I was like, oh, well, we've already done that. Because we did the ballet and the NCT Theater at Red Hat this summer, or spring, actually. So, you know, we have that chance because of all the sizes of venues and the collection of venues that we could use them in different ways with this horrible COVID pause that might last forever. And it was gorgeous to see her in these, you know, beautiful gowns dancing on the stage at the Red Hat. Who doesn't love green trees and ballerinas? I mean, it's just not something we've had the chance to explore a lot of. So, you know, there's a silver lining in everything, and that's one of them.
I think so. And so many of our arts organizations have collaborated on some really cool things during this pandemic, and I hope that sticks around after everything reopens.
It was great last week. We saw a lot of patrons coming out of the symphony because the symphony had their live first time. Woo-woo! We were so excited. But when we interviewed them on the way out, they were talking about how it's so spectacular to be back, and they loved being here, and they felt really safe. And I also heard, and I hope we still get to see the streaming concerts go forward. So who would imagine, you know, almost 70 years old, excited about watching a concert again on streaming, but still coming to see it live. And so you're right, this is a great creative way to offer more to that same audience.
And this is one thing I wanted to ask you. Do you think we're going to see this hybrid of in person and streaming a year from now, do you think the streaming is going to stick?
It's a great crystal ball question, isn't it? It's interesting, you know, in the convention world, 3, 4, 5 years ago, people kept saying, oh, you know, conventions are going to be on their way out. Everybody's going to go virtual. Well, we now know that's just not true. It's lovely virtual and it's lovely streaming, but it is never going to replace the real thing. And people are dying to get back in the building. And as we heard last weekend, they couldn't wait to be back here, even, you know, an elderly patron who had the chance to see it at home. So that's a real win for me because I would never want life to go away. Will it stay hybrid? I don't know. You know, there is a cost to it and it is a stress to it. And, you know, we watched them film the hybrid and perform. And while that's exciting for a patron now, I don't know if a year from now that's quite so exciting that we're all gonna pause while the stage manager sets things up. That nuance and romance will be gone and people will probably be rolling their eyes going, wait, I just want an uninterrupted, gorgeous concert. So I don't know how much it's gonna stay hybrid. I think there could be one or two along the way, maybe for other accessible groups, but it's just never going to replace it.
So let's backtrack a minute. I spoke to Michelle Bradley, Assistant General Manager, in April of last year to talk about the potential economic impact that this shutdown might mean for venues like the Duke Energy Center. So now that we are nearing the end of the shutdown, what has been the economic impact and how many shows have had to be canceled this past year?
So we typically do about 649-50 shows a year here. And pretty much everyone was canceled. It was 14 months, right? So you could say a whole year was canceled, gone. So 650 shows here. Among the three venues with Red Hat, the Convention Center, and the Duke Energy, it's about almost 1,260 events a year. That's enormous. And the snowball that everybody now really, really understands is the economic impact that we make to all of downtown, right? We, even if it's just a coffee on your way into a show, it's dinner after, it's staying in a hotel, it's coming to see your favorite band and making it a night or a girls' night or whatever that is enormous. That all went to zero. And so, it's in the millions, and it was really, really tough. And we're starting to see some back, but you know, the capacity question has been a real challenge for us. We keep trying to explain to the powers that be who make these executive orders that while we can have 50% in here, when you add and 6 feet, that takes us down to about 22-25%. So we can never exceed that, no matter how we rearrange these folks to keep them in a safe bubble pod with 6 feet. We're stopped. So 25% isn't a break even to anything. We are just super lucky that these resident companies live here and this is their home and they're on contract. And so they could pull off some performances here for us that couldn't happen elsewhere. That's why you're not seeing any touring shows. They're just not viable. They will be though shortly. And for that, we're pretty excited.
So what has been happening inside these venues during the pause? Have you used this time to refurbish or renovate or do anything to the buildings that once people come back, they might notice?
So we have done a lot in every building during that time. You know, this building got a new roof. We've been working on the plaza. We got new seats put into theaters. It's very exciting. We have brand new seats that out of about 1,000 new seats, about 40 have been sat in. So you will be the first person to sit in new seats if you come shortly. So we're pretty excited about that. We have updated our food and beverage offerings. At the other venues, you know, we've repainted all the walls, everything that needed touching up, all the stuff you never have time for to just polish it all back up. Our GBAC cleaning has been a really big deal to learn. So we are global biohazard certified for cleaning. Where we were always clean, we were definitely not biohazard clean. So now we have a whole different way to do things. And that's taken a lot. And that's what's exciting. When you come in, we'll have sprayed your seat with the little backpacks like you see on TV and clean everything. And it'll just be very different way that happens that isn't visible, but you can know when you're here, it's good and it's done. Red Hat has had $1.8 million in upgrades since the last time it's been open. It's really got a lot of new and exciting, brand new stage and all new chairs and these unbelievably cool porta potties that are flushable porta potties. So they're flushable portable bathrooms that all the best music festivals have, but now we have out there, and that will move the lines faster and we can get more in, which is a real win. New catering tents, an entirely new artist experience backstage at Red Hat. You know, artists get to choose where they love, and we want them to love here. So it's a whole new experience. Gorgeous little fun green room with games and places for photo shoots and a new catering tent. Things that people might not see and experience, but will matter to get us
for
through
the
cool
artist
concerts.
Experience.
Absolutely. Artist experience matters, right? So we've done a ton of work. We've also done all the mundane things, policies and you know, updated websites and paperwork and things that make the client's experience easier. Again, you want people to choose your buildings, so this was a chance to pause, revamp. We wouldn't have chosen this pause, but since we had it, we did the best with it.
You are the chair of the NC Live Coalition, which consists of 25 performing arts venues from around the state. And part of what you all have been doing during this pause is coming up with best practice guidelines for reopening at 100% capacity. So talk to me about some of the work that the NC Live Coalition has been doing during this time.
We all live in the same state, but we didn't necessarily interact a lot, which is kind of sad when you think about it. But we were really busy and we all came from somewhere else. And, you know, on a national level, I would connect all the time. So now we've had a really great chance to build a bond within the state. And we got to spend a lot of time with Department of Human Health people and the governor's people, helping them understand what we do. And so that was really valuable. Just that sentence we said earlier about 50% really means 22%. That wouldn't really have occurred to anybody, right? They thought they were doing a really great thing. So we got to explain how we work and how long we take to book, and even the conversation about how we need to bring the audience along with us. And so if you decide on Wednesday that on Friday you're gonna let us open, and we haven't had any pre-time to know that, we haven't had time to get the customers comfortable. So now we had 6 weeks because of that conversation really kind of sunk in. 6 weeks is better to say to somebody, hey, we're going to sell you a ticket. This is what's going to happen when you arrive. You know, we might temperature check. We're going to have masks. We're going to put you in a pod or not, depending what you need. You know, the conversation has brought along a sense of security. We've had time to make videos. This is what it'll look like when you come in, and we're still here, and we can't wait to see you. And so when everybody's feeling better about showing up, that's a win, because if a promoter brings a show and, you know, he's trying to make the economics work, we're finally open, but only 100 people show up because they weren't sure, then that promoter won't be back. And the industry still continues to fail even when we're back open. And so that's a real different nuance than I'm going to open my store and sell shoes tomorrow. And we had the chance to really procure that together and talk about it and spread the word and find best practices all the way from Korea and Thailand and how are their theaters working, and, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber and what he's doing with his theater in London. So taking those best practices and gathering them, we also could share them around and share them with the governor's team. So we could do a lot of legwork for them that it's unusual and different and they might not have had time for.
And you mentioned Andrew Lloyd Webber and the really useful group, and he's been so proactive in advocating for theaters and educating audiences about what is coming and what to expect when theaters do reopen. So what is going to be different for audiences when they come back to the Duke Energy Center for the first time?
So right now, at the PAC, there is metal detectors, and that is new and different all in itself. Mm-hmm. So when you arrive, you'll go through a metal detector. But at that same pause at the moment, you're going to get a temperature check. And they're these really cool machines. You just kind of wave your wrist in front of them. They don't feel invasive. They're fast. They're easy. Once you've had a temperature check, you'll move in and be asked the questions that everyone's gotten used to. Have I traveled anywhere? Et cetera, et cetera. We at the moment have a capacity limit. So we're sitting people in pods. So you can buy tickets with your family or whoever it is that's in your bubble, as we say. God, we have a whole new vocabulary. Don't we? It's just crazy. But you'll sit with your people and spaced out. As we open broader, you will sit next to strangers. And you will always wear a mask here until we hear otherwise from the governor. And we're being told it's going to go on for some months. And we're happy to oblige with that. It's okay. It's become second nature, I think, to just about everybody. And it makes all of us feel better.
I spoke to Nate McGackey from Arts North Carolina, and he talked to me about lobbying to decrease the social distance requirement from 6 feet to 3 feet. Will that make a significant difference in capacity?
It will make a difference. It'll definitely increase capacity. However, we're operating right now with the understanding that by June 1st, we're going to be at 100%. And so masks will remain, we've been told, but the 3 and 6 feet will go away.
Okay.
Now, we'll allow a customer to make those choices as they manifest. So perhaps they say, you know, we want a section that's spaced, or we are hearing from our subscribers, this is what they want. Then we'll be flexible and help them do that. So some sections maybe will be spaced by 3 feet. Some will be not spaced. And we can allow them to make that choice.
And so for artists coming into the building, what are some of the COVID guidelines for them? In other venues, I've heard of this idea or concept of zones and having to take certain precautions as you enter a certain zone of the building. Is that happening here?
Some of it's artist-driven. Artists have the choice to be very particular if they wish and how much space they want around them, if they'll only allow vaccinated people around them, etc. So there is that conversation. They do enter in the back at this point. They are temperature checked and they are asked the same questions. The resident companies are being very, very careful. They have been testing and they have been spacing and they have been making sure their artists are as healthy as possible. And we keep our people away as much as possible. There's just no sense in everybody hanging out backstage anymore. There's no reason for it. So we space that away. We try to keep people from walking through, and we're hearing a lot of, probably there'll be no meet and greets, there'll be no pictures, there'll be no artist visits. Green rooms will be a place where only the artist is, I would bet, for the next year or who knows when.
So I want to ask you about the metal detectors. I've said before on this program that theater is my sanctuary, it is my safe space, and generally I always feel safe coming to the theater, but when I see metal detectors, it occurs to me that maybe I wasn't that safe. I know when I've spoken to DPAC about this in the past, they've told me that putting in metal detectors was just a matter of keeping up with the times. Is that what's going on here as well?
So we were more behind the times than DPAC because we're the last to go.
Well,
so DPAC has them and Blumenthal has them and the new Tanger Theater has them. We're the last. It's the times, and it's not appropriate to say this show seems like maybe we should have them and that show doesn't. We need an equity conversation and everybody should be treated equally, and there are lots of different kinds of shows in here. You know, yes, the symphony and the NCT theaters are safe space, but we also have a lot of other things going on, and it's the sign of the times, and now it should feel more like you're safe.
Well,
because we know it's very safe. And it's just so common these days. You know, just about everywhere you go through them. It's not, yeah.
So you've worked in venues all over the country. What is different about these venues and this complex here? And what are some of the challenges we have here that may differ from other parts of the world?
I love this combination of venues. It's so great. You know, my favorite night is, and I reflect back on it, you know, when I first kind of got here and everything was flowing that night. And so I went to the convention center and there was a big party in the ballroom and they had a band and they were playing and dancing. And then I came over here and it did turn out there were like three things going on at the Duke Energy Center at the same time. So you could see, you know, a 50s funny play, and then there was the symphony playing, there was something else, and I bopped into every single one just because I could, and it was so exciting. And then Red Hat had a concert. And to me, the combination is magic. And we are so lucky, and we're so lucky that so many people want to be here that we can fill them all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a huge volume of business. And when you tell people we're doing 1,250 events a year, that's stunning. And we were at the place where we were full. Our convention center didn't have any more weekends or any prime days. You know, if you wanted to come, you came on a holiday because that's the only thing that was left. And so that's pretty exciting. People love Raleigh. They love being here. They love the vibrancy of it. And this town loves it. They love and support their arts.
Even since Painter and I spoke just a few weeks ago, the governor has issued new guidelines, which not only removes the mask mandate, but also allows facilities to open at 100% capacity. While the Duke Energy Center continues to strongly encourage the use of face masks, certain events may still require them, along with a wellness screening upon entry, and some events may still operate at a reduced capacity to accommodate pod seating. In those cases, ticket purchasers will be notified in advance, and that information will be notated on the Duke Energy Center website. I'll put a link in the episode notes. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to this podcast. Visit us online at www.beltlinetobroadway.org or follow us on social media at Beltline to Broadway. And speaking of social media, we're nominated for Best Facebook Page in Indie Week's Best of the Triangle Readers Poll. I hope you'll take a moment to vote not only for us, Beltline to Broadway, but for all your favorite businesses, including the Red Hat Amphitheater and Walnut Creek, which are nominated for Best Music Venues. Special thanks to Carrie Painter, Michelle Bradley, and Sarah McAllister for opening the doors and making me feel so welcome at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. And thanks to all of you for listening and supporting Beltline to Broadway. Until next time, I'll see you at the theater.